Hi, you're listening to a podcast brought to you by the teaching team at New Life in North Lincolnshire. New Life is committed to helping transform people and transform places through the love and power of Jesus Christ. We hope you, in some small way, will be blessed and transformed by this message.
Hey, here's a picture of me. There, that's a picture of me. Oh, I know, it looks like Joseph, I know. Yeah, that's amazing. So I was 15 there, and the kind of thing we did very bravely then as teenagers when we went on youth camps, and this was a youth camp down in Sussex, is we would buy Christian T-shirts. We would have a verse printed on it, and that verse is Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's a shame hairstyles aren't. Jesus is, but hairstyles aren't. So sort of 4 years after that, my hair was disappearing. And fashion isn't the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. But Jesus is the same. And I want you to see that picture because it does relate to something I want to say a little bit later on. But we're in a series at the moment. It's a three-part series called Past, Present, and Future. What's it called? And so a couple of weeks ago, I talked about the past and how it was different from history. And in particular, I wasn't just talking about great things that have happened in the past globally. I was talking about, well, a little, for the first 5 minutes, I was talking about the past of this church. And we talked about the 1930s. By the way, next year will be the 90th anniversary of this church being an Assemblies of God church. Right back in the 1930s, we existed. There was something going on, and then a revivalist came and started something else, and this church grew. And we were literally, some of you are concerned sometimes when I call us a bunch of oddballs and misfits, but that's how this church began. We weren't welcome in other churches because we started speaking in tongues, and so you weren't welcome at the other churches, and so we had to find a place of our own. And this is how we began. But, of course, more importantly, most of my talk was talking about how we handle our own past as individuals. And we looked at that verse in the Bible from the prophet Isaiah where God was talking to the people of Israel, and he said this, "Consider the rock from which you were hewn. Consider the quarry from which you were carved." And we looked at what that really meant. And if you want to know more about looking at your past and in some sense redeeming it, no matter your past, no matter your history, no matter your memories, God was there. And what do we do with that thought? And how can we redeem some of that stuff from our past now? And one of the wonderful things we can think is that throughout all our lives, God has been giving us clues about what is good for us and the kind of people we can become. And we need to look for those clues. So that's where we were. And of course, we realize that in Christ, this little awkward phrase called born again, which only appears twice in some versions of the Bible and once in most versions, born again really means this. Jesus is saying, I can cut you from a new quarry. No matter what you think of your history, no matter whether your mother and father didn't treat you well, no matter what experiences you had when you were young, no matter your ancestry, I can cut you from a new quarry. You can be born again. Isn't that great? And we looked at that a couple of weeks ago, and that's available on podcast and on video if you want to. Last week, we took a serious turn. I buried the serious talk in the middle of this series of three. And we looked at the present. And of course, whenever we talk about the present, it's very real to us. It's our now. And we're a mixed bag of people. And some of us are on a high right now. And some people are on a low. And we're all carrying different kinds of baggage. Either the wind is at our back or the wind is against us. And whenever we talk about the present, we know we're wrestling with stuff that is very peculiar to us as individuals. And so we focused in on the book of Corinthians, and the Apostle Paul talked to a church just like us. He wrote a letter and he said this, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. I mean, that seems quite harsh, doesn't it? And then he goes on to say, Jesus is in you. So really what he's saying is this, look, know that Jesus is in you, believers, but are you in him? Are you walking in the faith? Or are you just resting lazily in the fact that Jesus is in you? Are you living for, walking for? Are you seeking to grow, to develop in him? And of course, that's a big challenge. And we looked at the opportunities of that, as well as the dangers of not examining ourselves. And I know that was important for a few of you last week. Today, we're on a lighter note, and I'm going to be talking about future. Now, just something about the context, which we can't escape. Part of the context of this series is it's Lent. And Lent, at its most basic, is about reflection. It's a season of reflection. But there's also part of the context, which is we are in a kind of lull, in an in-between stage, because Sarah and I are disappearing. In 4 weeks' time, you will have Dina Button as your new pastor. That's exciting. It's great. And so we're in this stage, which is a bit of a lull, because I've been really getting less and less and less involved in things, and Dina's getting more and more involved in things. And so it's been, maybe most of you haven't noticed, but for those of us close to the staff and the core of the church, we've noticed this kind of lull. It's a funny in-between stage. And we can't avoid that this is part of the context as well. So today, it's kind of a light talk, and I'm going to do so using one musical metaphor and then one visual metaphor. Is that all right? First of all, how about we pray? If you'd like to place your hand somewhere near your heart, if you want to, that'd be great. Father God, we thank you for blessing us, loving us, showering us with mercy and goodness. Even when we don't know it, even when we don't see it or recognize it, or thank you for it, you do. Jesus, we thank you because you came, did all you needed to do for people such as us. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for bringing the presence of Christ here in this service today. We're not speaking or just listening to words or oratory or stories, but we are welcoming you, Holy Spirit, into our lives, and we ask that you would change us. So would you give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to obey? And everyone said, amen. Right, I'm a musician. Now, one of the quirks of being a musician is this. You pay far too much attention to music and to songs. Awkwardly so. So if someone comes up to me and says, Russ, what's your favorite song? I honestly can't answer the question. I have a list of favorite things about many songs. I have like a favorite intro of a song. I have favorite choruses of songs, favorite verses of songs, favorite solos, favorite guitar solos of songs. But if someone says to me, what's your favorite song? I can't answer it because I've focused too much on little bits. But I do think I'm a bit of a connoisseur, annoyingly, of key changes. Now, key changes were killed off largely in the 1990s. It's a great shame to me. They still hang around a little bit. X Factor winner songs always have a key change in. Those kind of things. I'll tell you who else were connoisseurs of key change. The Beatles. Stevie Wonder. And this is now the epitome of key changes. 75% of this gentleman's songs include a key change. And I must admit, when I was a mid-teenager, I used to stand in front of the mirror and model my hair on him. And I think that's why the Lord has judged me. Because pride entered me and ego. But the master, the true master of key changes, was one and only Barry Manilow. The thing about key changes, the thing about those people, is they commit to a song. Nothing about the song changes. They commit to a song, and they want to move people. That's what they want to do. The purpose of a key change is not to do a key change, because it's really annoying when you've got to change key if you're playing it. It's to move people, either psychologically or emotionally, to a different space. And so they make a shift. They commit to a song. They make a shift. They move people. And the song enters a new kind of territory. Now, key changes can happen up, down, all over the place, multiple times in a song. Would you like to hear some key changes? Is it all right if I share some with you? Okay, so this first one is very, very rare, a key change downwards in a song. Very, very rare, but sometimes it happens and it just slips us by. We don't realize it's happening. So here's a key change by a band called The Pretenders. Let's listen to this.
I'll stand by you.
Oh, Lucy's away there. She was away like this. Now, of course, the most common kind of key change is one upwards, and no one did this better than American bands in the 70s and 80s, of course. And so here's one I'm sure most of you who weren't closeted in Christian homes would have known about. Let's hear a key change up. Wonderful worship song there from the 80s. Living on a Prayer. Have we ever done a series called Living on a Prayer? I don't think we have. There's one for next year, Dina, you can do. And you were joining in there. That's great. So that's, of course, the most common kind of key change. Then you get the really clever bands who think, why should we do one down? Why should we do one up? Let's do one up and down and then really up. And then really down, and you get clever bands like this, Earth, Wind and Fire. Where's it going? Where's it going? Anyway, all over the place. Oh, but the greatest, without doubt, the greatest key change of all time happened in Las Vegas in 2016, when a song was performed that was written in 1996, and it was written for a particular singer who couldn't make it famous, and so the song was adopted by another singer who made it really, really famous. And in 2016, this lady sang this song. She sang it 3 months after she lost her husband to cancer, and she lost her brother to cancer a month before, but she was scheduled to do a whole series of events. And this is, whether you like the performer or the style of song or not, there is no doubt that this is like a tingle down the spine key change for me. Look, key changes, when done right, when done well, and when done at the right time, are moving. They change a song. You don't have to mess with the song. The song is good enough. The song is great. But you do a key change, and something happens. It's like you're on a new plane. It's like the song comes on a new kind of adventure. It hits a new dynamic. And in 4 weeks' time, I'm going to have the honor of commissioning Dina on this very platform to be the pastor of New Life Church. And let me assure you, Dina is going to sing the same song. It's a song that's got Jesus in it, right? It's the only song that New Life knows. We were birthed out of Jesus doing transformation in people 90 years ago. And we still bear the name New Life. That is what this church is about. The fact that people like me, dirty, rotten scoundrels, who knows where I would be without Jesus. People like you, who knows where you would be without the grace of God in your life. We sing a song in this church, and the song's choruses are all about Jesus. I'm not talking about a real song we sing. I'm talking about the song of our hearts. That's what this church is about. We are unashamedly Jesus-focused. And Dina, when she comes in, is going to sing the same song. It's a Jesus song. But this church needs a key change. And I don't know whether she's going to do a Celine Dion key change. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? That would be great. Or whether it's going to be Pretenders, or whether it's going to be kind of a groovy Earth, Wind and Fire, or it's going to be a, you know, a Barry Manilow kind of key change, or maybe one of those Bon Jovi. I don't know. But I do know this. I want you to join in. I want you to join in. In any kind of transition, any kind of succession environment, there is always a little bit of nervousness about. And there are those people who go, yeah, we're ready for a new adventure. And there are other people who go, no, we want more of the same. Can you just do a little tweak, please? Can you just do this? Look, who knows? Because this is God's church, and Jesus is leading us on. One of the reasons why Dina is going to be the next pastor is because she loves Jesus passionately. She loves this church passionately. She's going to sing the same Jesus song. Don't worry. But there will be key changes coming. Will you join in? Will you join in? I mean, even if she does a Celine, will you try? I mean, try and get that top A, won't you? I wanted to make that point today because change is going to happen. And change is good when the time is right and when Jesus calls us on. And we're in the season of change for now. And we're in a bit of a lull. It's like when Celine was singing there and all the instruments dropped out and she was on her own. And that's what I kind of think we are now. We're sort of in this bit of a lull, you know. And then she goes, bah! She makes a clear, certain sound. And it's like the band go, wow, you want us there? Okay. Boom, 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 boom. That's what I would love for New Life. But Dina just shares something from her heart. And we, as the rest of the church, go, wow, you want us there? And we're there. Wouldn't that be great? So, do join in the key change. So what can I tell you about the future of New Life? The truth is, very, very little, except this. There's going to continue to be fun, and there'll be faith and encouragements to be faithful. There'll be discipleship. There'll be relationships still grown. We're going to be a church that continues to dig deep and continues to be a church that spreads out as well. And that's Dina as well. She doesn't just love church and love growing robust people, but she loves the overflow into local community and did it so well in Hull. We're going to be a church that digs deep and spreads out. And of course, then amongst church, because we're normal people, there's going to be the normal, gritty stuff of life, right? It's where the rubber hits the road, if you like. Very kindly, a few weeks ago, I asked Paul Silibon if he would make me a wheel or construct something for me, and I had no idea he was going to make a work of art. Isn't this great? Paul, where are you? Where are you sat? Paul, just stand. Just stand. Come on, just give Paul a round of applause, because I love... I love craftsmanship. And isn't that beautiful? All handmade. It's probably worthy of being on display at some point. And the reason I wanted a wheel is because I just had a picture of something like this in my mind. And there we go. It's the wheel move. We go through life and we roll through life. And there are many things that we can focus on in life, just like a wheel has spokes. And sometimes there's things that are really important to us as people. Our ethics are important to us as people, as individuals. Our morals, our habits, sometimes our beliefs maybe. Or we have a spoke that is really set on certain doctrines or certain habits we've built. And that's one of our strong spokes that we think holds things together. Or maybe we have relationships that really matter to us. Or maybe role models or heroes that are important to us. And all these are kind of spokes in our lives, aren't they? Because they're important. Maybe some of us are really intrigued by hot topics of the day. What are some hot topics? Wars and conflicts, sexuality and gender. And these are things that are in our lives and we can't escape them and we try and wrestle with them. But the thing about all these kind of things is that unless we're static, unless we just stop ourselves in a snapshot of life and we say, Jesus, don't move us on. We're very happy here. We don't want to grow. We don't want to develop. We don't want life to move on and we just stay static. All these things are a moving target. If I had the space, I could roll this all along the front at some hefty pace. And you wouldn't want to put your hand in and try and grab a spoke. The truth is, all those things are moving targets. Even in my time here as senior pastor, which is coming up 23 years, then I know there are things that I don't believe now I used to believe. There are ethics I have now that I didn't used to have. There are things that matter to me now that would have never mattered to me back then. There are things that don't matter to me now that really mattered to me back then. There are views I have on things that have changed. There are things that are important to me. Maybe certain people who were important to me in my life back then are no longer important. Maybe they've moved on for lots of different reasons. There are new people that are important to me. Isn't it interesting the kind of things that we hold as really important to us, but as life and time moves on, you can't get a grip on them. And life is like that. Sometimes when you want to get a grip on something important, it just keeps moving out of the way. You just can't get your head around it. I don't know what the spokes are for you. I know many people in church circles, they place a lot of weight on relationships. Maybe you've got a spoke here and it's relationships. And it's very easy for relationships to become so, so important to you that when that relationship breaks down, your faith is crushed. Happens so regularly in church circles. Actually, that your whole faith and your Christian direction is based around your relationship with a couple of other people. And if some fallout happens, or a split between you happens, or a huge argument happens, or someone leaves, it's like the whole thing falls apart. Sometimes our Christian faith is built on maybe a spoke, and that spoke is habit. I'm a Christian because I come to church every Sunday, or I go to small group every Wednesday, or I know all the Hillsong songs and the Elevation songs. I know them off by heart. You do all the habitual things right, but actually when you dig deep in your heart, that spoke is not as sure as you want it to be. Your relationship with Jesus isn't there. Most things that we hold dear are never static for us. They're difficult for us to hold our faith on. So what many people do is they make church the thing that holds them together. In our case, this church. And it's great to see so many of you here this morning. And we wouldn't want that to stop. But they make church the central thing. The problem with church is church changes too, right? People come and go. People come to a church because they've got a job here locally and then their job moves on and they've gone. Sometimes people move because they've served their pastorship and they move on and a new pastor comes. Sometimes people come just because of life stages and move on. People and personalities change. And so if we make church the central thing of our lives, we have a problem because church too is a moving target. This church today isn't the same as it was 10 years ago. There are different things that are important to us as church. And that's going to carry on changing. Church itself is a moving target. You are not a follower of Jesus because of this. Church hasn't saved you. And it's a good thing to be part of. The Bible instructs us to be a part of. But it isn't the best thing to have in the center. So we have Jesus. The thing about Jesus in the center is that he's the surest person you could ever have. And then when everything else is a moving target, Jesus isn't. I wore a t-shirt when I was 15 years old. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I can't say that about sexuality and gender. I can't say that about morals and some ethics. I can't say that about church. I can't say that about you or the relationships I've had with people or the important heroes I've had in the faith. I can't say that about anything else. But what I can say is Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. Can I just borrow Graham? Where's Graham? Graham, come on. He's got his big strong hands here. You got it?
Yeah.
That's great. If you go through seasons of life and it feels like this, who are you best having at your center? Church? Your wife? It's changeable. I don't mean you can change your wife. Please don't mean that. That's not now. This is not new wife church at all. Don't get any ideas. This is new life church. I don't mean changeable in that sense. All these things that we go through life holding dear to are not the best things to put our faith in. This is unashamedly a Jesus-centric church. But more importantly, are you a Jesus-centric person? All the stuff that may be worth wrestling with is never worth taking our bearings from. We take our bearings from Jesus. Here's what Paul the Apostle writes. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. He came to this church, a church like ours. Many issues. This church had strong ethics. It had morals that it was wrestling with, trying to get right. It had relationships in the church that it was trying to sort. It was trying to get its teaching right, as every church is. There is no perfect church. And Paul the Apostle sends them this in a letter. This is what he says. Why don't you read it with me? I did not come in cleverness. I resolved to emphasize nothing except Jesus Christ and that he was crucified. Let me ask you folks to make a resolution today. Those of you who believe in Jesus Christ, you already consider yourself a Christian. I'm going to do it one more spin just for Graham's sake and then I can let him go. Okay. My life lately has felt like this. So I don't know about yours. Are you trying to get a grip on things? We're facing new jobs and trying to find a new house and a new this and that. And at 60 years old, that's all quite awkward. We have things going on in family, and so life feels like this. And I'll tell you, if Jesus wasn't there, I'll tell you, if I had church in the middle, I'd be a complete mess. But Jesus is in the middle. And I know many of your lives seem like this as well. And so here's Paul coming to people just like you and me. Imagine him talking to you. And he's saying, look, I, the Apostle Paul, I could come and I can talk to you about all these lofty things, all these other letters he's written to other churches, incredibly lofty things. And he says, I come to you and I know there's all that other stuff and I'm not coming in cleverness. I resolve to emphasize nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I would urge you as individuals to make a resolution in your heart to do exactly the same thing. Why don't we just close our eyes? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Some of those beliefs you've held, they aren't. Some of those people you've loved, they aren't. the friends you've had, the heroes, the role models, they aren't. Church? No. It's not the same yesterday, today, and forever. But Jesus is. But here's where the decision comes in. Although Jesus has been there throughout all your life, calling you, leading you, giving you clues to what it means to be the person you really should be. Although his presence has been there throughout, although Jesus is preeminent, he was there at the creation of the cosmos. Although all those things are true and factual, the decision you have to make is to make Jesus the center of your life. That is not automatic. We decide to do that. I decide to do that. You decide to do that. And we are called by the Holy Spirit to almost have Jesus written through us like a stick of rock. Now, just in the quietness of this room, have nothing else. Have no one else at the center of it all, except Jesus. Now I want to talk to those people who are maybe here, maybe you know a lot about church and maybe you know a lot about Jesus, but there's something about what I've said today and something in the songs we've sung today that you can't exactly relate to, because Jesus has never been the center of your life. You've not said yes to him. And yet even today you're sensing a call from the Holy Spirit to take a step towards Jesus and say yes. So I have one more opportunity in this church to give an appeal, and I'm going to do that right now. So maybe you would all just say this simple prayer along with me, but if you want to say yes to Jesus today, if you're feeling prompted in your heart, then you say this prayer with real sincerity in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I don't understand it all, but I sense you love me. Thank you for living to show me how to live, dying to rescue me from sin, and rising to offer me new life. I'm sorry for the wrongs I've done. Please forgive me. Wash me clean. Make me new. I invite you into my life, and I give my life to you. Be the center of it all. And Holy Spirit, give me strength to live for Jesus every day. Keep your eyes closed. If you prayed that prayer, maybe for the first time or for the first time, and you really meant it, at the end of this service, when everyone else is mixing and mingling and chatting and grabbing coffees, would you just head over to the banner that says need to talk, and there'll be someone waiting there with some resources for you, and just say, hey, I prayed that prayer. And whoever's standing there, they'll help you. If you don't feel able to do that, then maybe grab someone you've seen on the platform today and just say, hey, that prayer, I prayed that earlier. And we want to help you. We really want to help you. Having Jesus the center of it all is revolutionary for you in this life and in the life to come.
Thanks for listening to this message from New Life in North Lincolnshire. To find out more, do visit us online at newlifechurch.uk, or why not pay us a visit? We'd love to see you.